Hi, everybody. Kevin Broughton coming at you from Loan Officer Impact. And thank you so much for tuning into my podcast. I hope you're enjoying the series. And we have a really special guest on with us today. A guy who's phenomenal at what he does, but more importantly, he's become a dear friend of mine over the last 15 years, a guy that I respect a ton, I've learned a ton from, and someone who's helped more loan officers nationwide than anyone I personally know. So without any further ado, I'd like to introduce to you coach extraordinaire, Mr. Doug Catteray. Doug, how are you?
I'm doing great, Kevin. Happy New Year. And man, that's a hell of an introduction. I can honestly say that it's reciprocal. You know, we've kind of, in that 15 years, we've seen a lot, haven't we?
We sure as heck have, and thanks so much for investing the time today with me. I know you could have chose to do something else, and I appreciate it.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thanks for the invite.
Well, and Doug, you've coached hundreds of loan officers nationwide. I know you have a large clientele of loan officers from California to Maine that you've helped grow a better business. And I was hoping that today we have loan officers watching from all over the country at all different companies, at all different stages in their career. And, you know, I was hoping that you could touch on a number of topics today, but one of the things I definitely want to make sure we didn't miss is you've developed a CARE model. And I was wondering if you could take a moment and just explain what the CARE model is and the impact that it's had in loan officers' lives.
Yeah. I think it helps us understand what it is that we're supposed to be doing. It's like a value. It is a value proposition, right? I think a lot of times in our industry, we tend to do a lot of buddy selling with our referral partners. And at the end of that buddy selling period, we wonder why we're not hearing anything back from that realtor or that referral partner that we're trying to get business from. And a lot of it's because we don't really offer them a message that resonates to them. I think a lot of people in our industry tend to listen to the same radio station, WIIFM, you know, what's in it for me. And if we don't create a message that echoes to what they're paying attention to, it kind of just dissipates. And so the CARE model is my way of defining, you know, what defines a successful transaction. I think a lot of realtors in today's market, and we experienced this last year, I think a large number of realtors don't want a loan officer as a partner. They don't want a pre-approval specialist as a partner. They're looking for somebody that brings something more to the table. Just closing on time and giving good communication isn't enough anymore. And I think the definition needs to be a little bit better than that. And I created the CARE model to stand for what I believe is what we're all after. If you ask any realtor, I check that. If you ask any referral partner, CPA, accountant, bookkeeper, attorney, divorce, family, financial planner, they'll all tell you that they'd rather work with a referral versus a lead.
Correct.
It seems to be commonplace, right? Everyone would say that. It seems like a very casual, very easy question to answer. But many of them don't define a successful transaction in their business as getting one. It's shocking to me how many people will tell you that closing on time means more than getting a referral before the deal closes. And that's where I saw the hole in our value propositions. And to me, CARE stands for creating abundant, referable experiences. C-A-R-E.
And what let me make sure I got that right. Creating abundant, referable experiences.
Correct. In a fancy way, it's just saying we generate thank yous. And out of that, we ask for business. We take the law of reciprocity. Whenever we generate a thank you or a moment of gratitude, we ask for the business. And we do that intentionally. We do that consistently. And we do it with clarity. You know, that's the one thing I think a lot of us don't do in our business. I think we still wing it. And so caring for our audience means that we're going to care for you as a realtor or as a referral partner better than anybody. And let me explain what that means. Obviously, caring for somebody is an emotional commitment. But in a professional commitment, it means that we're going to create these abundant referable experiences on behalf of you. Because most of the referral partners that we seek out in our business, they all have a very hard time asking for business.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
So if I, as a loan officer, were interested in trying to pursue a relationship with a realtor, are you saying that your CARE model, which again stands for creating abundant referable experiences, mm-hmm. that when they refer a borrower to you, or to me in this case, if I did such an incredible job that it was an experience for both the realtor and the borrower, I've earned the right to ask for a referral. And if I get that referral, I'm going to be able to reciprocate it back to the realtor?
exactly what I'm saying, but I need to add one thing that a lot of people make the mistake of saying. We don't have to wait until the end of the transaction to do this. For most who create that caring experience, it starts from phone call number one, and it manifests itself all through the process. And honestly, that's the one time that we have a captive audience, both right. on a listing agent side, the buyer's agent side, and the client side. These are people that undoubtedly want to talk to us, and all we have to do is understand that we have to care better than anyone else for them and their clients, and we'll have earned the right to ask. And
that's so all. What are some concrete examples that create this type of an experience versus that of a normal loan originator?
For example, the initial consultation. I found that at the end of every consultation, one of the easiest questions to ask is, so how did I do today? How was the information I shared with you? Did I answer all of your questions, right? Putting a finger on the pulse of the relationship at that point. And then being able to say, listen, I would love a chance to be able to earn the right to be introduced to someone else that you care about who could use the same advice. I have not created an expectation of doing their loan for them. I've simply given them their advice, or given them the advice that they were seeking, answered their questions, and I'm interviewing for the position of being their lender. And I find that initial consultation, actually a success story. I had a client that I met with, a father and son. Initial consultation, self-employed painters. And father owned the business, co-signing on the loan for his son for a government loan. And at the end of the consultation, I had asked them, I said, you guys obviously have a tax return, you have a CPA. Do you like her? I know who the CPA was because it's on the tax return. We love Terry, they say. Fast forward a couple of weeks and I go in and I do a presentation for Terry, all about the care model, all about the presentation of how we over-communicate and deliver on reciprocating business. And Terry's impressed. She actually says, I've been in accounting for 30 years and I've never had a lender talk to me. To me, that was shocking, but okay. I guess I might be doing something right. But then she kind of busts my bubble and says, but I don't think I'm going to be a good referral source for you because I don't do traditional accounting like you think. I'm more of an auditor. I have a handful of clients. The gentleman that referred you to me is one of them, but I do more auditing. And I'm like, well, hey, I'm never one to shut a door on opportunity. It was a pleasure to meet you. And before I could get another word in edgewise, she says, but I have another business you might be interested in. I said, well, what's that? She goes, as an auditor, I've got relationships with about 24 law firms around town. I said, okay. She says, well, because they all get these complicated divorces, they refer their clients to me to do an audit of the company tax returns from the spouse. And so by the end of this deliberation, as I'm trying to help figure out how much money to put in the petition for divorce, for alimony, spousal support, child support, whatever that number is, these clients become my friends, and I've only ever steered them back to the bank from which they came from, not really realizing the kind of challenge I put on them. Would that be a good client for you? And I'm like, I guess I'm this Ashton Kutcher's here, right? I'm going to be punked in a second. This is too good to be true. And she's like, yeah. So by the time I'm done, these people come back to me looking for guidance. And I'd love to put you in touch with them because they have credit. They've got money and they either have or need a real estate. They either have or need real estate advice. Within the 3.5 years before Terry retired, I think I did a total of 28 transactions with her. And I brought my top realtor in, Mark Jabot. I brought my top financial planning firm in, Dave Brazen, and we created a little synergy group. Not because I went out and networked, but because I asked a client for an introduction to their CPA, because I believe the definition of a successful transaction isn't about getting paid. It's about earning the right to be able to ask for an introduction to someone else. And here's the ironic part of caring. I never did the mortgage for that father and son. Couldn't even tell you their name, but Terry's still a friend of mine on Facebook. She's moved off to another state, but I know her still. We connect and talk on a regular basis. How many of us have businesses that go underneath our nose every time we meet a client, do a mortgage for a client, or they just become a person we add to our database? How many influencers in their life do we not know because we're not willing to care enough to be able to then ask for that introduction?
All right, hang on. I got to stop you for a second. This is great. For those tuning in, I hope you understand and get the takeaway I just got. I'm going to synopsize what I just heard Doug say. You had a mortgage client who you ended up not doing the mortgage for,
But not intentionally. I didn't seek out not to do their loan, right? I want to do their, that's how I get paid.
Right. But throughout the process with the two father-son team that you didn't do the mortgage for, you asked, did I educate you? How did I do today? Do you know of anyone that I could speak to that could use the type of advice that you just received from me? And they gave you to someone who referred you 28 closed loans over a 3.5 year period.
Yes, but I was specific in the ask. When you have a self-employed borrower, it's easy to look for their CPA.
Right.
If you have a financial plan from somebody of your clients, it's easy to ask for an FA.
You were strategic and specific in the ask.
Intentional, focused, and clear that that was the goal that I had with every initial consultation, to be introduced to someone.
Intentional, focused, and clear that that was the goal with every interaction. So the point I think you made at the end was, how many of us, regular LOs, go through life and due to our inability or unwillingness to ask that question and be intentional about that question, miss potential force multipliers in the world that could multiply our business because we didn't ask? Is that the point?
Yeah, and I think it goes beyond that, but it kind of circles back to what I said in the beginning. I think a lot of us still believe we're just pre-approval specialists. I think a lot of us still think we're just loan officers who know guidelines. We're not true salespeople. We're not true marketers of our business because we haven't had to for the last couple of years. But 2022 was a hard dose of reality. And 2023 is, if you're going to gain market share in this business, you've got to be more for your referral partners. Like, I think about chess and checkers. Realtors are learning how to play chess today. They were playing checkers 2 years ago. Now they're having to play chess for those that haven't quit. They're looking for loan officers who want to learn how to play chess, already know how to play, to be a partner in their business. They don't need someone who plays checkers. The market does not favor those who know how to play checkers anymore.
I couldn't agree with you more, but here's the $64,000 question. So there's hundreds of thousands of licensed loan originators in America, correct?
Yes, sir.
Why is it that some of them achieve incredible results that are repeatable and sustainable and can build on, and some don't? Is there a magic pill? Is there a potion? What is the secret that some do and some don't? Have you ever given any thought? Because you deal with more loan officers on a daily basis than anyone I know, and you coach a tremendous number of people. Why is it that some, because it's not because they're more experienced, because they're smarter, because they're age, or anything, right? It's not the typical determiners of success, correct?
Right, right. And it's going to sound very cliche, but it's those that have a plan. It's those that don't wake up and go to work on Monday morning and then try to figure out what they're going to do. It's those that end the day before with a plan of what they're going to do the next day, and they stick with it long enough for it to matter. You know, one of the things that we preach is, you know, it's a 12-week cycle. Like, there are, you know, it's something you got to do for 90 days. Sometimes you got to do that 90-day plan, 3, 4, 5 cycles of 90 days in order to start achieving the results that we're all after.
Right.
But many loan officers, and this applies to realtors as well, they give up after 4 weeks. You got to have a plan. You got to have a plan that you know works, and you got to stick with it long enough for it to gain traction. And that's where most of us quit. We don't have a plan that we stick to doing long enough for it to matter.
How important, Doug, is tracking in your business? Would you think? I know that. I know you built a tracking mechanism at one point in your career. Can you speak to it, like, with all the clients that you currently work with, is the success ratio greater with those that are emphatic about tracking their business versus those that aren't?
The difference between the LOs and the businesses that track their business from the ones that don't, it isn't just a slight difference. It's like somebody in elementary school versus somebody who's getting a PhD. And as basic as that sounds, tracking is like anything you want to see improve in your life, any facet. Tracking is the fundamental business maxim or life maxim that helps you improve that. I don't care if it's exercise, finance, whatever you want to track, it improves when you do. The tracking component.
Why is it so important?
Because it's not an I think. Unless you know your numbers, you have no idea what component of your business is working. Are you working? Is it working well for you in the asking stage of your business? Do you have an asking and then an attraction challenge? Do you have a conversion challenge? Do you have a retention challenge? the four components of our sales business are broken down into those categories. And without tracking, you don't know what works. And some clients say, well, I track my closings. That's great. But that's like saying that your W-2 this year isn't where you want it to be, and then trying to figure out a plan to fix that. Well, by the time you get your W-2, it's too late. By the time you get your closings, it's too late. That's a lagging indicator. For me, tracking is about how many at-bats and what's your conversion rate of those at-bats. That speaks to the asking and attracting, converting and retaining parts of our sales business. And if you don't know your numbers going into this year, it's going to be a very challenging time to figure out what truly is making you productive versus just being busy.
So you and I have had this conversation before, and thankfully some of the insight that you've given me over the years has changed how I operate. But let's speak a little bit about busy versus productive, because you and I both know many people, possibly people on this tuning into our broadcast today, brag about how many hours they work or wear like a badge of honor. I work 60 hours a week, but yet a large percentage of that time is in essence spent vacationing at the office or you know, like not doing
vacationing at the office. Yeah.
What, talk a little bit about the difference between busy and productive, if you will.
Well, I think everybody in our industry, depending on the role that you play on the team, has a different definition of productive. For many of us, we are extremely busy helping other people be productive. And that's a detriment to our business. We spend a lot of time helping our team members, our clients, our referral partners. We help them be productive. And we end up at the end of the day looking at our business, wondering why we're not farther ahead. And that's because we're not clear on what our definition is. And so if we're going to speak to just being an originator, not a loan officer, but as an originator, the definition of productive is being able to add one or more names to a tracking form of somebody who's seeking real estate advice. That to me is the definition of being a full-time originator. To the extent that you can do one or more of those a day defines whether or not you're going to be, whether you're going to be a full-time and either reach mild success or wild success, depending on how much time you can dedicate to putting into asking for the business from referral partners and actually being able to attract the business in the door and then convert it.
So let me ask you this. You just said that if someone were productive enough where they could ascertain one person a day that has a need for real estate or financing advice,
yeah,
that's a definition of the word productive, correct?
I think that's the definition of a productive full-time originator in our industry.
Okay. And if there are 21 to 22 business days per month, assuming that we don't work on weekends, correct? Mm-hmm. That would be sure. 21 to 22 minimally, 21 to 22 referable occurrences per month, correct?
Correct.
And of your current clients that are at the upper echelon, what is the conversion ratio of the best ones that you work with when regards to when they speak to somebody that has a need to borrow money?
When you run a caring business and yes, you track your production, you track your at-bats, the ones that track and know how to ask and believe through the core what the care model represents, we see as high as 48 to 51% of our total conversion rate a month. And that's introduction to actual closable deals.
So let me just go through a quick math problem, okay? So if there's 22 workdays on average in a month, and if a productive LO can generate one referable event per day, that's 22 referable events per day. And if they can close at 48 to 51%, that's 11 closings a month.
Let's just use 40% as a round. Let's just use 40% as a more realistic, because you've got the A players that are out there that just get it. And then you got the averages that are down into the mid 20s. Let's just use 40 because I think that's a safe number.
Okay, so 40% of 22 is 8.8. Let's round it to 9. So 9 closable units. The average mortgage in America has grown to over $300,000. Let's just use 300 for a moment. That's 2.7 million a month. At roughly somewhere between 100 and 120 basis points on is the average commission in America today. So you're talking about $30,000 or a $360,000 annual business for doing one referral a day.
And everyone that's watching this is going, well, that's baloney. There's no one that can do that. The market isn't producing that. The question isn't the market isn't. The truth is the market's producing that kind of result. If it's not producing it for you, why? Like, that's where you've really got to look back and go, what did 22 expose in my business? And ask yourself, what am I not doing to generate one qualified referral a day? And if you're not generating that one qualified referral, it's either one of two things. Either you're not asking enough, or you're asking the wrong or unqualified people. And both of those are strategies that can be addressed if we know that that's truly a problem, which brings us back to the reason why we track.
So what if someone said to you, Doug, well, Doug, here's the other problem. I don't have enough people to contact that are currently doing a loan with me to ask. So who do I call?
Well, I tell you what, first place I would turn out to, it'd be my sphere. Actually, this was the advice that I got when I first got in the business back in 1995. My boss at the time, Dave, told me to take $500 and go have five $100 lunches or dinners. He goes, I don't care what you do with it, but at the end of that meeting or lunch or dinner, I want you to ask that person for help. I will honestly tell you that of all the things that I did in my business to jumpstart it, that was the number one activity that produced, if I remember correctly, I think I generated six closings out of those five meetings. Three people didn't have any business for me, but the two that referred me multiple transactions just because I reached out for them and asked. And these were people that were influential in my life. They were my influencers. They weren't buddies. They were people that I respected that held positions at corporations that I had connections with. That's who I reached out to. So if you don't have enough people, I got a better idea.
Yeah.
If you don't have enough people, open up your cell phone. The average person in yourself, the average person has a cell phone of at least 1,600 contacts. There's a tool called, it's not Reach, what is it? Covvee, C-O-V-V-E. It is a exporting tool that you can download every one of your contacts from your cell phone into an Excel spreadsheet. From there, you can take it and upload it into an app like Reach or TextMagic. And my recommendation would be to text everybody in your entire phone's contacts list and ask them one specific question. And the reason is because NAR just came out and said 45% of our total volume of closings this year will come from first-time homebuyers. 45% of the annual volume that we'll do in 2023 is going to come from first-time homebuyers.
What's the question they ask them?
The question is, do you have someone who's a first-time homebuyer who needs the right real estate and lending advice? Question.
Everyone hear that? Do you have someone
in your life that you care about who needs the right real estate and lending advice?
Fantastic. Great takeaway. And so you're telling me that if you have 1,000 names in your phone, you can go to this Covvee place, C-O-V-V-E, I think you said.
Covvee.
And you can get that downloaded into an Excel spreadsheet.
In 11 seconds, it'll export every one of your contacts from your cell phone into a spreadsheet.
And then you use a simple texting app or something.
Reach is a great texting app. TextMagic, Mighty Text. There's so many of them out there. But if you have a spreadsheet, you can do wonders with it. If you have a great CRM or so forth, it's priceless. You have enough people to talk to, I guess is the point. You just have to look past what's staring at you and look at some of the technology that's in front of you.
Awesome. Awesome advice. All right. We're getting down to the end of our episode. We got about 5 or 6 minutes left. We just came off of one of the most challenging years the most challenging year that many people tuning in to this podcast have experienced. And for some of us older guys, you know, maybe not quite as damaging as 2009. Nonetheless, a challenging year. There are indicators that rates might remain in the same ballpark that they're in now. We might get a bit of reprieve come Q2, but who the heck knows? Some of these people that make these, you know, opinions are sometimes wildly inaccurate.
Right.
You and I both are big believers that we control what we can control and we don't worry about things that are out of our control, right?
Correct.
What's your best one or two pieces of advice for loan officers right this minute who want to make sure that 2023 is a successful year for them?
If I was to give you the one singular strategy that I would employ 4 days a week, 5 days a week, and not quit, it would be to have 15 conversations a day with people that you currently know or can network with. You're asking not only for an introduction to someone who needs real estate advice, but also asking for an introduction to someone that could benefit from knowing me. Knowing yourself, right? I'm looking for connections like CPAs, financial planners, attorneys. Every one person that you connect with has or needs at least one of those four opportunities: insurance agent, financial planner, attorney, or CPA. I'd be networking. I'd be a connector. Unlike anybody, my goal would be to have 60 conversations a week. It's 240 a month.
Of your clients, Doug, that implement that strategy, that have 15 conversations 4 days a week, how many of them are monetarily unsuccessful despite market conditions?
Zero. The success stories are unprecedented. Stories are unprecedented.
So zero of your clients, and you consult over 50 mortgage professionals right now?
Yeah. Zero.
Zero of them that implement that one strategy are monetarily unsuccessful.
And you know how many, you know how much money it costs you to have 15 conversations a day?
Zero.
There's no money in it. If you don't have any loans to work on, you've got time in your day to pick up the phone. And if you use a dialer, it'll probably take you less than 2 hours to do it. If you don't have a dialer, it might take you 2 to 3 hours a day to do it. But in this industry, the amount of revenue we generate from putting in a little bit of work of having conversations with people. And here's the most, I think this is crazy. The product that we're selling, it's already been sold. The general population already knows that they want to own a home. Our job isn't to sell the product. Our job is to help manage their fears and expectations and educate them and advise them on what the opportunities are. We don't have to convince them to buy a home. Everyone in the world knows that owning a home is a vital piece of growing wealth. We don't have to sell a product. We just have to create opportunity and get them to understand and educate them. Half the battle of what we do is already done.
I love it. I love it. So you're a no excuses guy, right? And
my wife would say the same.
So you're telling me that regardless of whether you've been in this business 6 months or 60 years, if you will have these 15 conversations, which to those of us tuning in, if you've done this before, I've done it. It is simple and yet not easy, right? Because it's every day and it's 4 days a week and it's getting up and getting here first and saying, come hell or high water today, nothing's getting in my way of doing this, right? And
being productive.
But I think that goes to what you spoke of earlier when you used the word clarity three times. If we are crystal clear on the mission, and in this case, if the mission is 15 daily, 60 weekly conversations with a live human body.
But let me put a little asterisk. The conversation doesn't count unless you're either asking for an introduction for someone who needs real estate advice or asking for an introduction to someone that can benefit knowing us.
Okay.
It's important. You can have a conversation about the weather, hang up. It doesn't move the needle.
Okay.
15 conversations where you're asking for the introductions.
Good clarity point there. But there's the takeaway, and that's possibly a challenge. If anyone on this call would like to go to growingwithkevin.com, again, that's growingwithkevin.com, please go on there and schedule a 15-minute meeting with me, and I will talk to you about that challenge and how 4 days, 60 contacts produces every single client of the best coach in the country. Every one of them is monetarily successful that does this. Yeah, everyone, 100%.
It's about the numbers game, right? Kevin, 240 conversations a month? You mean to tell me you can't generate 21 to 22 referrals?
You can.
You don't have to sell the product. It's already been sold. You just have to expose people to the reality of who you are and what your mission is. It isn't to sell a loan.
No.
It's to provide advice and help people make the right decisions and believe that by doing that, they'll be attracted and compelled to want to use you for the lending process.
All right. So everybody tuning in, remember the CARE model, creating abundantly referable experiences.
Yes.
The 4 day challenge, 60 contacts a week on a 4 day work week, 15 a day, but you have to ask one of two questions. If you don't ask one of two questions, it doesn't count. Zero people currently in Doug's database who do that are monetarily unsuccessful. Right. Zero. This is a great call, Doug. I appreciate your insight. I appreciate your passion. Most importantly, I appreciate your care for the loan originator community in the United States. This guy helps people, regardless of what company they work at, on a weekly basis, daily basis, hourly basis. I know many of his clients, and I can't tell you how many that I've met that have told me he's the best coach in the country. So, Doug, I appreciate you taking the time to share with us today. And for every loan originator tuning in to Loan Officer Impact, I hope you enjoyed today's session. We will constantly and continually try to bring every week some value to your life, regardless of where you work. If you'd like to go to growingwithkevin.com, and schedule 15 minutes with me to talk about any growth related topic to help you have a better business, I'd be more than happy to try to help. So without any further ado, they're going to kick me off the show soon, Doug. So thanks again. Appreciate you all. Everyone's having a great start to the new year, and we'll talk to you all soon.
Talk to you guys. Bye-bye.
Be sure to visit successunlimited.us for free loan officer tools, tips, and video resources. To schedule time with Kevin, visit growingwithkevin.com.